Testing. I'm coming through. 2 minutes? 1 minute. Okay. Praise God. How's everybody been doing on the tests? The quizzes, I should say. Doing well. Amen. One of the things I want to definitely state, even the students online, if you do have a problem or don't understand something, by all means, text me through the system that's set up, and we'll definitely, one young lady, she had a problem with our question on one of the tests, or one of the questions on the test, and I just trust God that what I shared, you know, cleared it up. But, you know, that's one way to reach me. I try to look at my emails on a regular basis, so we'll try to make sure that everything is, you know, that you, all your questions are answered. Amen? All right, we got a few more seconds, and then we're going to get ready and start and get right into the lesson. Let me do this. All right. Amen. We're going to start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I thank you, Lord Jesus, Father God, for this class and for the apostolic mantle that we are under, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that as we flow in this government, Lord God, in your government, I thank you, Lord God, that we learn how to walk in divine order. And Lord God, and not only just walk in divine order, but walk in order and do it with honor, Lord God, so we can fulfill our destiny, fulfill what God has called us to do, our purpose. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that your will in our lives will be done. Yeah. Your kingdom come as it is in heaven, so let it also be done here on the earth, Lord God. We're establishing your apostolic government here, and we thank you, Lord God, that you've placed us here in this ministry, under this mantle, under this anointing, for such a time as this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Start my timer. All right, what I want to do, I want to start off by reading couple of verses of scriptures in Matthew chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles or your tablets or your phones, I want you to see this, because most of our class is going to be structured around these scriptures in Matthew 13 verses 54 through around 58. This is where Jesus goes into his own country or his hometown, and it talks about how he's received in his own country. It's Matthew 13 and 54. It says, "And when he was coming to his own country, he taught in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, 'Hence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works. Is not this the carpenter's son? His mother called Mary, and his brother James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Hence, then, had this man all these things.' And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, 'A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house.'" And then he goes on in verse 58 and says, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Now, this here is like I said, our foundational scriptures for honor. Jesus went into his own country, or his own hometown, I should say. Now, if you're from Donaldsonville, or if you're from Vacherie, or if you're from Baton Rouge, or Prairieville, imagine going into your own locale, your own community, and God has anointed you, God has placed his love and his grace upon you, and you go there and you're spreading the good news. But because they know you, they watched you grow up, you played basketball, or you did things together with the people in the community, they know your parents, they know all about you, they couldn't discern the difference between the natural you and the God anointing that's on your life. And because of that, they couldn't receive the benefit of the blessing that God has placed upon your life. That's what happened to Jesus. They couldn't receive him as a man of God, anointed by God. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing, you know, all those who were sick. But he couldn't do in his own hometown. He couldn't do hardly any mighty works, except the one translation says, lay his hand on a few sick people with minor ailments, you know, and they got healed. But the greater works couldn't be accomplished. And it was because of their lack of honor or their dishonor towards what God had done in his life. Honor will short circuit. It will hinder. It will inhibit the power of God from manifesting itself in your life when you walk in dishonor to God's apostolic source, or I should say, to the prophetic, to God's, you know, apostles and prophets, and even all those who are in the fivefold ministry gifts. Because what's on them cannot come on you when there's dishonor, disrespect. And that's what we're in the process of eliminating in this school and in these classes, to show people the importance of flowing and operating in honor. All right. I want to give some definitions. We ended up last week, we were doing some definitions of honor. We said that honor comes from the Anglo-French word honneur, N-O-U-R. This word also denotes elevations. It comes from the Latin word honus, which means honor. First, we said it's one of high esteem. Someone who's honored as one who is of high esteem or high public esteem. They are people or individuals of high reputation and character. Secondly, these are individuals that have notoriety and recognition. And thirdly, these are individuals that have certain privileges. Listen to this. Certain privileges conferred upon them in lieu of their anointings, their giftings, and their ranks. Now, that word ranks is so important, because in the military, and you, like I said, I'm a creature of repetition. I've talked about it before. There's ranks. There's levels, you know, there's an order that has to be followed. And when you're in the military, if you're of a lower class, where, like, say, a private, a buck private or something, and a lieutenant walks in, you salute that person because they are of a higher rank. But that lieutenant, when a captain comes in, he salutes him because he being of higher rank. That's showing honor. That's because of the elevation or the rank, the position, and really that's called protocol. In the military, that's protocol. Well, you see, people, they don't have a problem following protocol in the natural. But when it comes to spiritual things, for some reason, we get the idea that we be all equal. And that's just brother so-and-so. Where anytime you try to lower a man of God down to your standard or put yourself up to his standard, you just eliminated any blessing, any endowment that God may wanted to use him to bless you with, because you operated in dishonor. And in this society, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, in American society, there's a gross amount of dishonor. You know, teenagers dishonoring elderly. You know, oh man, you can't tell me what to do, old man, go on. You know, the Bible even talks about that, dishonoring those, the gray-headed man. When you dishonor somebody who has years over you, their life experiences and the things that they overcame, you're not going to overcome, because There's what is known as reciprocation, and we're going to get into that, the word reciprocal. If you ever took any kind of math, especially geometry or whatever, you learned about a reciprocal. A reciprocal is when you reverse something, like 1 over 8 becomes 8, or 8 over 1, which equals 1, if I remember correctly in my geometry. But the reciprocal is the reverse or the inverse of what it actually is. And in the area of honor, honor needs to be reciprocated. When someone who walks in stature and in esteem, we need to reciprocate, because what they have on them, that blessing, that anointing on them, for us to receive what they have on them, we need to honor them by reciprocating honor, showing honor. And that's why we talked about last week, you know, you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. Because what you're doing, you're reciprocating. You know, he's about to sow into your life. And by you sowing into him, you're reciprocating. And so what's on him now is able to be imparted into you because of you showing honor. Amen? Amen. All right. One of the things the author talks about, and I'm going to just kind of briefly go over this. I also want to point out, we were talking about definitions a few minutes ago. The word honorarium is also comes from the word honor. The word honorarium literally means payment in recognition for one's ministry, or ministering the word, payment for services rendered, professional services or ministry services. It also means a fee rendered to professional people for the service if you're in ministry, for their ministry. And in a lot of cases, the author says, there are times that people will go to minister And the congregation or the church or the place that they're ministering, they disrespect them because they don't reciprocate even in the area of an honorarium. I can remember as an example, I guess it was back in the early 2000s, as I stated, I guess a while back, when I was in college, I was a part of a campus ministry. And we had a reunion back 2001 or so, and we had one of the students who now is an evangelist come back and minister to the kids that were on the campus and those who had graduated who were alumni. And so after he ministered, you know, a collection was taken, but they were more concerned. Listen to what I'm about to say. They were more concerned about paying the musicians and the singers than they were the man of God that was ministering the word. I had to get up and say, no, it's not going to happen. He has come to minister spiritual things unto us. We're going to make sure that he's honored properly, because there's no way what he's putting out, you're going to receive, and it's not going to operate in your life if you don't sow into a gift, you know? And the thing that really kind of astounded me, the people who were, you know, opposed of doing it were people who had went to, you know, prestigious Bible colleges. But one of the things I've learned about this ministry is that, you know, you're going to walk in order. You're going to walk in divine order, and you're going to walk in honor, because that's elementary in spiritual things. You're not going to advance and get to your destination by walking in dishonor, because you're never going to get everything that you need that God has for you. One of the things the apostle has shared many times, you want to go where you're celebrated, not tolerated. You always want to go where you celebrate, where they celebrate the anointing. I've been in prison ministry for over 20 years, and one of the things I've learned in the early years, when you know, the inmates the people who worked at the facility, when they didn't know you, it was almost like breaking up fallow ground. But once they got familiar and they got comfortable with the ministry and they knew that, you know, we were about, going in, ministering the word, seeing people get delivered, set free, I began to notice more honor towards the ministers from the church who would come to minister. And there was a direct correlation as they, even though a lot of the guys there didn't have monetary money to give us, but they made sure that we had water. If sometimes they would have coffee in the back before services, if we wanted coffee or drinks or whatever, and they would carry your Bible or your briefcase, and they would just make sure that you were comfortable in whatever way that they could show honor to you. And guess what? Immediately I began to notice that when the honor was shown, the anointing levels in the services were higher because they were showing honor, and so what's on the ministers could come out in a greater capacity. In those early years when they just would, a lot of times they'd be in the cell block sleeping or with the TV playing, you know, it was almost like you'd be ministering and the word would just bounce back at you. You know, as you grow in ministry, you'll be ministering to people. If they're not honoring and respecting the gift, is what you say is almost like it bounces back. You know, even in class sessions, you know, when people are receiving, things flow out of the minister that he may not even think he was going to even share. But it comes out because there's a pull. There's because of honor, because of respect. You know, the anointing will flow freely where honor is being released. The anointing will flow freely where honor is being released. Amen. Let me move on. And we already read this scripture, but Jesus in his own hometown could do no mighty works except, you know, heal a few people with minor ailments. And that was simply because, you know, of their dishonor. This was because they did not know how to honor the gift that was sent. One of the things we stated last week was they saw Jesus and they looked at him that he became too familiar. That was one of the test questions on the quiz last week. You know, you never want your man of God to become too familiar. There should always be a distance between you and your man of God, your spiritual father, your pastor, the person that you submit to, because if you become buddy-buddy with them, you're not going to receive what's on them. You know, there's got to be a level of respect. You know, when my physical dad was alive, yeah, we did things together. We would go fishing. We would hang out together. But there was a time when he stepped up into his role as my father and made correction, I had to honor and respect him as a man. And so all the years that and the experience and all of the blessing that was on him was able to roll over on me because of my honor and respect to him. And that works in the natural, and it works even doubly so in the spiritual. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's move on. The apostolic gift is in most cases is not properly honored in its own hometown. This dishonor of the apostolic source has got to change if we want to experience the full-blown blessing in our lives that the gift that God has sent, that it be released in our lives. And this culture, and one of the things we're doing here at Word of Life is we're changing that culture. We're changing that atmosphere. We're setting the atmosphere of an atmosphere of honor, an atmosphere of honor that the government of God is being established. You see, when God's government is established, there's order, there's honor, there's blessings that's going to be released. There's deliverances that take place because, as I stated in the first class, I think it was, God is a God of order. You know, everything he does is wonderfully and marvelously done. He doesn't do anything haphazardly. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And so he establishes kingdom on honor. And also, actually, one of the next things I wanted to talk about, honor is really the structure of, order is the structure of honor. You know, when something is in order, honor will be there. Amen? Okay. When there is proper honor shown towards God's government, the fivefold ministry gifts, there is a heaven-to-earth connection established, and God will begin to reciprocate his blessing down from heaven to earth to the people. In 2 Chronicles 20 and 20, it says, it's talking about Jehoshaphat. It says, and they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they that went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe as prophets, so shall you prosper. When you believe and act on what the prophetic or what the apostolic anointing or the gift or your pastor said, you are showing honor. The reason why he said, you know, it's in this verse of scripture says, to believe your the prophet, so shall you prosper. You know, and that's so very important. You have to not only just believe it, but you act on what. One of the greatest forms of showing honor is acting on the word that's being taught from the pulpit from day to day and getting results. That's one of the greatest forms of honor you could show your man of God by hearing what he's preaching and receiving it, and now you're going and you're applying it and you're getting results in your life. That's one of the greatest forms of honor, because that's letting him know that, hey, it's operating in my life. You know, what you said in through scriptures is manifesting itself in my life, because that's what any true man of God wants to see reproduction take place. What's in him, he wants to see it reproduce in others. You know, what's in him, he wants to see reproduce in you and your children and your children's children. Amen. When there is proper, well, we just read that. Let me move on. Here's another key point we want to look at. When God honors us with his presence, okay, this is what takes place. All that God has, all that God is, and all that God can do shows up. And that's his glory. God's glory is his manifested presence, you know. And when you operate in honor, by showing honor, well, then now all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do shows up on the scene, which is his glory. And when the glory of God is manifested, then you just step back and then, because God now is performing. And you just reach up and grab what it is that you need. You see, what we desire is to see the glory, the manifested presence of God come in our midst. And you see, when that happens, people get out of wheelchairs. Braces come off knees and backs, and people get healed of cancer and disease. People get out of deathbeds and they go free when the glory of God is manifested. But in order for that to happen, there's got to be honor. There's got to be honor for the apostolic. There's got to be honor for God's government, because God is not going to dishonor inhibits the flow and the power of God. When you walk in dishonor, you inhibit, you short circuit, you put a stop to what God wants to do. Basically, when Jesus went to his own hometown, they inhibited. They stopped the power because of familiarity, because they became offended, the Bible says. That's another quiz question we had last week. When you become offended, you off in, or you stop the process of what God wants to do in your life. You know, never let anything cause you to become offended. You know, offense, one of the things we're going to be talking about in the upcoming weeks, hindrances to honor. One of the major hindrances to honor is a bad word called pride. And that word pride actually comes from another word that really means pride, but Leviathan. It's a prideful spirit. God hates a prideful spirit, a haughty spirit. You know, somebody you think you better than somebody else. You know, that your ability. You know, the Bible says, who was lifted up with pride? Lucifer. You know, he wanted to what? Exalt his throne against God. He wanted to be like the Most High. That's prideful. That's where that prideful spirit initiated. It initiated it with Lucifer. And one of the ways he tries to keep the body of Christ, to keep men and women of God from getting all of God's best is by injecting pride. A lot of times people get offended, and then pride will get in, and instead of casting it down, they listen to these voices that's speaking to them, and what happens is now, instead of dealing with it, they're allowing things that they see that don't even make sense, cause them to stray or to drift away from what God, from the blessing and from the ministry. There are people, because of pride, leave ministries, or because of offense, leave ministries that God called them to, and they never get off the ground spiritually. If they had were called into the fivefold ministry, I've seen people who their ministries basically just flatlined. They never really blossomed. Why? Because they left the very source of blessing that God had sent to bless them, because they allowed pride or they allowed offense to come in, and it stopped the process of what God is wanted to do in their lives. When there is proper honor shown towards God's government, the fivefold ministry gifts, there is a heaven to earth connection that will be established. And that's what we're endeavoring to do, is to get that heaven to earth connection established. God's government is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. In Ephesians 2 and 20, it says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, it says, and God set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now that's your fivefold ministry gifts, you know, in operation. That's God's government, and that's the order that God set the government to be put in place. The Bible said that the government shall be upon the shoulders of Jesus. And when government is in proper order, there is a heaven to earth connection. And remember, we talked about a week or so ago about Aaron, who was the high priest, and the anointing all flowing down on Aaron, Psalms 103. And that all was like a precious ointment flowing down his skirt, all the way down to his feet. Well, when order is in place and everything, and think about Aaron as being the body. You got the head, you got the shoulders, you got the torso, you got the legs and the feet. We all fit in that divine order, in that alignment somewhere, you know, from a spiritual point of view. Because one of the things that I've shared with a lot of people, you know, the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights. God has a gift and a calling and there's something unique about each and every individual that God has placed on the inside of you that God wants to develop for his glory. There's talents, there's gifts, there's abilities that's on the inside of you. But when you begin to flow in honor and respect, then God now is be able to bring out those blessings, those gifts, those talents in your life. I use the illustration of a diamond in the rough. When you mine a diamond, when you first get it out of a diamond mine, that diamond has no brilliance to it. But when you put that diamond in the hands of a master stone cutter, he can cut that diamond and shape it and mold that diamond and sculpture it to where it glistens and it's a beauty to behold. Well, you see, when you operate in honor, God is now able to shape you and to mold you, even though you didn't seem like you were shining before, but now you're shining for his glory. But the only way that's going to take place is as you walk in God's government and God's honor. Amen. When apostolic and prophetic gifts are not being honored properly and are not in place properly, in their proper position as apostolic leaders, positioned first to establish a heaven to earth connection, we could not and would not be seeing the manifestations and the demonstration take place that we're seeing today. When the apostolic is out of place, it violates the government and the divine order of God. So basically, when apostolic government is in place, you're going to see the manifestations of God's goodness. But when that is out of place and that's out of order, you're not going to see it. If God's government is not set up properly, it violates God's divine order, his protocol. When divine order is restored, the supernatural will not be inhibited. but allowed to flow freely. And when it flows freely, like I said, there's a heaven to earth connection. There's no kinks in the water holes. If you ever was watering your grass or watering flowers and you had an old water hose and it's been outside for a long time and it's getting kind of brittle and it's got a lot of kinks and it's all raveled up, and you turn the water on and you pick up the spigot and you're trying to water and hardly nothing come out. You know, I didn't turn the water, the volume of the water all the way up, but it's not flowing because you got all these curls and kinks in it. You know, that's symbolic of someone that's not flowing in order and that's in disarray and chaos, because they limit the amount of flow. You know, God wants to flow, the water to flow smoothly, or the anointing to flow smoothly and to flow uninhibited. But when there's disorder and there's chaos and there's disrespect for God's government, God is limited to what he can do. He's limited to what the power or the amount of power that can be flown out of him to you simply because of disorder. God is restoring divine order back to the church so that the government can function properly. And that's what we're seeing in this apostolic government that's being set up. And I see it here at Word of Life Christian Center, because what I'm seeing now is miracles take place that we've never seen before. I'm talking just miraculous, supernatural, undeniable miracles. And that's because order was followed, the apostolic was set up, and God's government was operating properly. And when people need a miracle, guess what happens? The miracle manifests. You know, but if there's kinks in it or something that's hindering it, like I said, offense will hinder it, pride will hinder it, you know, dishonor will hinder it. It'll short circuit it. You know, if you ever had a radio or anything electronic and you plug it in a wall and you play for a while and then you have to wiggle a wire because of a short circuit, you know, pride, arrogance, you know, dishonor will short circuit the power of God. When divine order, which is part of God's government, is restored, the supernatural will not be inhibited, because the supernatural flows where divine order is established. I'm going to read that again. When divine order, which is part of God's government, is restored, the supernatural will not be inhibited, because the supernatural flows freely where divine order is established. All that God is, all that God has, all that God can do comes on the scene where divine order and government is established. In Romans 13 and 2, we're going to be looking at one of the things I want to also talk about is, as we stated, God is the God of order. And all order, all power was set up and instituted by God. In Romans 13 and 2, it says, "Whosoever therefore resisted the power resisted the ordinances of God, and they that resist shall to themselves receive to themselves damnation." The Amplified Bible of that verse says, "Therefore, whoso resists and sets himself against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the penalty due them, not only just spiritually, but also naturally." I'm going to read, that's the Amplified Bible version of Romans 13 and 2. I'm going to read it again. It says, "Therefore, he who resists and sets himself against the authority resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. And those who resist will bring down judgment." Remember we talked about in the first class, I think it's Proverbs 26, where it talks about the curse, causeless, shall not come. In other words, there is a reason why people walk around in sickness, in disease, walk around with lack and with depression, you know, because something they're doing is causing that judgment or the curse to come upon their lives. It says, when you resist power and authority, the power and the authority of God, you're resisting divine order. God's authority, which is the ordinances of God, and you receive to yourself damnation, which is the curse, which is sickness, which is disease, which is poverty. There'll be no manifestation. There'll be no miracles. There'll be no deliverance to take place because, like I said, it's short-circuiting. And that's what you don't want to happen. You want that to flow. But when you do not resist of the divine order and you submit yourself, that's a key pivotal word. When you submit, you fall under the mission of another. You know, that's so very important that as Christians, we learn how to submit properly. You know, that word sub, which is a prefix, sub means to go under. And then the word mission is you following a mission. So you want to submit yourself under the mission of who God's called you to. I tell people it's so very important that you find the church, find your spiritual father. We're going to talk about spiritual fathers in a minute. Find the person that God wants you to submit to, and you fall under that mission. You know, I talked about not having any hidden agendas. You know, my agenda here at Word Life Christian Center is my apostle's agenda. Whatever direction he's flowing in, I'm flowing in that same direction. Mm-hmm. You know, because I know that he's hearing from God, and I'm trusting what he's hearing, and I'm flowing in direction where he wants the church and wants the ministry to go. And that's where the blessing comes, because that anointing that's on his life, as you flow and you follow and submit to the mission God has given this ministry, you know, or whatever ministry you're part of here, you know, we're changing the lives of people with the word of God. We're equipping the body of Christ to evangelize. We're equipping the body of Christ, you know, to evangelize the world. And we're the home of covenant winners. That's our mission. We're going out and we're teaching people how to walk in prosperity, and that we serve a God who's more than enough, and that God wants us to walk totally debt free, that God can do it. And by doing that, that's my agenda. My agenda is the apostle's agenda. When you do that, you can't help but be blessed because you're aligning yourself properly. Then people walk away. When that happens, then people walk away healed. They get out of wheelchairs. Like I said, they throw crutches on the stage. We've seen that happen. We've seen manifestations take place because divine order was established and the power of God flowed uninhibitedly. In ministry, there needs to be reciprocation, where people are sowing into a gift and they're receiving impartations instead of establishing business contracts with no impartation. For years, there's, you know, when a person go to minister, before they get up to minister at a church, there would be, well, you know, you get a certain percentage, I get a certain percentage. You know, there was a contract or a negotiation that takes place, you know. But one of the things that needs to happen is that ministry gifts needs to be honored, they need to be appreciated, they need to be respected. And so in ministry, there needs to be reciprocation. So as the man of God is sowing the spiritual seeds out, the people need to also reciprocate that with their monetary by sowing into him, but with their monetary means. So in ministry, there needs to be reciprocation where people are sowing into a gift and are receiving impartation on what he's releasing, instead of established business contracts with no impartation. Honor is reciprocation in terms of how the anointing is received and how the people act on what has been released. Honor is reciprocation on how the anointing is received by the people, and then how the what has been released, how they how well they act upon it or be doers of the word of what's being taught. This is the whole concept of what spiritual fathering is all about. We know about Elijah and Elisha. We talked about the them earlier in the previous classes. Elisha was the spiritual father. Elijah was the son. Elijah followed his spiritual father. He submitted, he honored Elijah. Wherever Elijah went, Elijah was right there. You know, he stuck with his spiritual father, and that's so very important. Like I said, this is the whole concept of what spiritual fathering is all about. And because Elisha honored his father and submitted to Elijah, the Bible says that Elijah received a double portion of Elisha's anointing. Matter of fact, Elijah, after the mantle fell upon him, did exactly twice as many miracles as Elisha, because he asked for what? A double portion. Now, there were other sons. The Bible says they were called sons of the prophet, who kind of followed in the distance. They were in the background. And they were the ones who said, Elijah, don't you know that Elijah is going to be taken up today? And he said, yeah, I know. He said, but you know, but I'm going to just hold your peace. I'm going to just, you know, wherever he go, I'm going to go. You know, they did everything they could to try to persuade him otherwise, but he stuck with his man of God. And by doing so, the anointing, see, what you really want from a ministry or from a man of God, you want that mantle, that anointing that's on their lives. But the only way to get that is honor, is to respect, and is to submit. And another word I haven't really talked about much is the word yield, yielding. Yielding is when you give the Holy Spirit or whoever you're serving, you give them the right of way to speak into your life. You know, when you yield for traffic, you let the cars in front of you on the side and you go first. You know, your man of God precedes you. You know, he's the one, he's the barrier breaker. He's the one that goes before you. You know, you always want to yield. Yielding doesn't mean that you're subservient. It doesn't mean that you're walking. You know, we used to have this song, it's called like humble. You know, I'm just being humble me, oh Lord. No, it almost denotes sometimes weakness. Now, when you yield or you submit or you walk in humility, humility is actually a source of strength, because what humility does, humility means that I'm submitting. I'm walking in absolute, complete, total humility and submission. And so now my weaknesses is exchanged for God's strength. You know, my insufficiencies now is being exchanged for God's unlimited, you know, supply of whatever I need. Because it's not about you anymore, but it's about you submitting properly and allowing the anointing of God, allowing the mantle, allowing God's goodness to manifest his presence through you as you submit to him. And that's so very important. People who walk in a strong humility walk in strong anointing, because they are yielding to and submitting to God. When you yield and submit to God, you can't help but walk in complete and total victory. Amen? All right. Sons must realize, I'm talking about spiritual sons. Sons must realize that the hands of the Father releases the blessing to them. Furthermore, sons must honor, respect, and acknowledge that the Father has been empowered to impart and convey the blessing they need. I'm going to read that again. Sons, our spiritual sons, must realize that the hands of the Father releases the blessing to them. And that's what you want. You want the blessing. Furthermore, we sons must honor, respect, and acknowledge that the Father has been empowered to impart and to convey the blessing that we need. And that's a quote from a book by an author by the name of Mark Hamby. And the name of that book is called We Have Not Many Fathers. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, though there be 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet we have not many fathers. You know, that may, and this is one thing that I've learned to do. I don't follow everybody. I only follow one man. You know, I don't watch a whole lot of different ministries on TV because my assignment is here at Word of Life. Everything I need, all the nourishment I need comes from this ministry.
Right.
You know, you don't want to scatter your seed because you're not going to get a return. You know, you place your seed in good, solid soil and everything you need. You know, God told Elijah to go to a certain brook, and there I'm going to sustain you. The Lord told me and my wife to come hear the Word of Life, and there he's going to sustain us, and he's done it. You know, I'm a blessed man. You know, I know what it feels like to owe no man nothing but to love him. I know how that feel. To look and everything that I can see on my property, I own it. I own this. I own that. Why? Because of submitting to the apostolic, submitting to the man of God, and submitting to an assignment, and not looking to the left or looking to the right, but staying focused on what God's called you to do. And staying faithful to your assignment. You know, a lot of times people get an assignment, but they drop the ball. You know, you want to stay faithful to what God's called you to do. Because the worst thing you can do is to try to self-promote yourself. You know, and try to launch yourself out before. You know, if my apostle says no, guess what? I ain't taking another step. You know, I want to make sure that wherever I go, whatever I do, I have his blessing, you know, and his permission. You know, the other day he had made a statement from the pulpit. I had to make a call to make sure that I was in line. I said, I want to make sure that I'm not doing nothing out of order because I don't want nothing to hinder this process we're working on, Apostle. So if I did anything out of turn or out of order, I submit. And I'm just waiting for further instructions. And he called me back, you know, says, you know, son, you're right on target. You know, keep doing what you're doing. Matter of fact, continue to press on. And so once I got that word, I was good to go. I knew that I was still doing what I was told and what I was expected to do. But sometimes, you know, you got to make sure. Am I doing what my man of God desires for me to do? Because that's what a blessing. And you see that keeps the kinks from damming up the blessing or damming up the process of what God want to do. God may want to manifest healing or manifest deliverance, but because you might be doing something out of order, it's going to hinder the process, and you don't want to hinder the process. Amen. All right, let's move on. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. This is the last book in the Old Testament, the last verses in the Old Testament. It says, behold, I will send you, Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of that great and dreadful day. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I smite the earth with a curse. That's talking about spiritual fathers. You know, God in these last days are restoring the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of God, of the father's children back to their fathers. Because that's where the blessing is going to be released, is from your spiritual father. But there's got to be honor there. There's got to be respect there. So definitely make sure you know that verse. That's Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. In these last days that we're in, God has sent the spirit of Elisha back upon the earth. To turn the hearts of the sons and the daughters from bastard type fatherless ministries to the hearts of their God-given spiritual fathers, their apostolic source, so that they might receive the impartation and the double portion anointing or the mantles that they need. And that's so very important. Okay, ministry gifts need to be respected and honored so that the revelation and the impartation can be released, honoring the gift that God has sent you, or sent to you, that God can release was on him in your life. Let me read this again. Ministry gifts need to be respected and honored so that the revelation and impartation can be released. Honor the gift that God has sent to you. We'll release the Father's blessing in your life. And that's what you want. You want the Father's blessing in your life. That's so very, very important. Next week, what I'm gonna be, we're gonna be getting more into hindrances or things that will block honor. You know, we're gonna be talking more about pride. I talked about a little bit about that. We're gonna be talking more about. We're gonna be looking at examples in the Bible of people who, though they were anointed, they somewhere in their life or through decisions they made wrong choices, wrong associations, and that's another thing. You don't want to have wrong associations. You know, when somebody disconnects from your man or your woman of God, you cut them off because something they say or they do can easily get in you, and now you got to deal with it. You know, and I rather not, you know. Things I only want to deal with. If somebody says something contrary to my man of God, it's on. Because I know that's my blessing. That's where my source comes from. So, you know, who you hang around and who you associate with, you know, make sure that you don't have no unholy alliances. Amen? Amen. All right. Y'all be blessed. And we'll see you next week. Sir. Sure.